Today's episode of the Outlep F1 podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're in office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy business, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment, and within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send it. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and with our promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. And now, off to the episode.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome to season three. It's the episode big 5-0. We've actually made it to 50 in a season. My gosh. It's our 2021 Brazilian Grand Prix race preview. You've got Andy. I'm along with John and Deanna tonight. James is apparently the odd one out. So how are we doing?
James works in the world of logistics. And if you haven't heard, that's a hot place to be right now. So I think he's rather busy, unfortunately, yeah. For him. He may not be sleeping tonight. I think he's supposed to be back at work in like, 5 hours or something like that. I'm not sure he left work yet. Yeah, I'm doing well. It's week's flying by. Got a fresh cup of coffee just to keep things going. But the calendar's like wrapping up here. And the big 5-0. It's definitely, I think, the most we've done in a season before, I believe. So, and we're nowhere close to being done. So
we're breaking records every time we do this. I love it.
But yeah, we got a long way to go, but we're getting good practice. Thanks to all the supporters, because we're it's definitely helping us to build new products and new fancy tools and sound effects, and we're having a good time with it. So hopefully you guys are as well. But Dan, how about yourself? Your Dukies won last night.
The best night of my life. I had a great time. College basketball is back, and I'm over the moon, and I was just happy that I got to be there and see Coach K's final win in the Garden, and it was a great time.
Anyway. Nice. Good that you get to do that.
Yeah. Andy, doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's middle of the week, but it's an F1 weekend on, believe it or not, my birthday weekend, so I get to have a sprint race on my birthday, so hopefully we get some good results, and that would be an awesome present, you know, if my boys can come through. And there we go. Thanks for that.
Free birthday.
Thanks for that. This is also the birthday where I decide that I'm this age forever, because the next one is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Deanna's got about 20 years
before she gets to that one. Deanna didn't have that problem for a while. So you can find our show, as always, on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can find our email at chatnow at outlapf1.com. You can check out our beautiful and lovely website, www.outlapf1.com. If you are a new fan, and we have heard from some fairly new fans recently, please do check out our F1 for Beginners episode. That's season 3, episode 6. If you want to get read up on what means what and who does what and where and all that good stuff, please do check that out. It's a great episode. We were super happy to bring that to you. Also, you can find our interview with W Series driver Sabre Cook before she embarked on this season. Season 2, episode 2, and season 3, episode 21 are the links for that. Please feel free to go check that out. If you're going to your first race next year, please do check out our COTA Experience and Global Motorsports Survey episode. It's our season 3, episode 47. We tried to do everything we could to try to get you to be the expert at going to COTA. I've actually checked the box and booked a hotel almost a year in advance. Yikes. I've never had to do that before. I'm still paying more money than I ever thought I would, but at least it's located where I want this time. We're not driving from San Antonio this next year. As always, please do check out Deanna with her Relapse channel. Her Mexico race reaction is now up and live. Please go check that out. Deanna, it looked like you had a lot more fun with this race than we did.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much you guys were going to hate this. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was like the greatest race ever, but it was like, it was a good race. I was fine. I had a good time. There were like things going on. Mostly all my entertainment came from podcasts, but like I had a great whole time. So I don't know what the massive issue was here, but you weren't alone, it seems, in the hating of that race. But yeah, I thought it was just fine.
All right.
Well, yeah, we'll have to make sure that you're on for Brazil just in case we have a repeat. You might need to be the light in the dark tunnel that is a boring F1 race.
But I feel like even this race compared to what we were getting a few years ago,
true,
is miles better.
True. I mean,
I think that's why this one sucks so much is because we've now suddenly been accustomed to all these amazing races and we're like, meh. It's like France.
When it's not that, again. Then you, yeah, I think it's exactly, I think it's recency bias. I mean, compare this to 2019 Mexico, and I think it's a much different story. Where that race, I think, was lap one and done. This race had, it was at least tense throughout, but it wasn't, I wouldn't call it, I would give it like a solid 7 or 6.5 to 7 out of 10, but it's fine.
I mean, it's only on the lower end of the races this season, right. But I didn't think it was boring. But anyway. That's just me. I also just like live in this, I just stare at the time screens and I think I just make it to myself. Like I just talk myself into that. This is like really exciting. And
what well, that's what I do with the qualifying is when I'm doing the live tweeting of qualifying, not just whether or not it's a boring session or not. To me, it's super intense because I'm trying to type it all at the same time. So, but
and the qualifying data screens are so much better where you get all the mini sector time.
Yes. Anyway. Yes, exactly. Yes.
So yeah, I don't know why advice. You can't get that for the race. That's ridiculous. Yes. But
it was when George Russell in a spa and you just saw like greens and purples and greens and it was just like, what is that going on?
Right.
That was a great moment. That was one of my favorite moments. No,
and if you have a bigger tablet device, don't just watch it on your phone. Watch it on like an iPad or if you have a Samsung tablet or something like that. It definitely helps to see the big mini sectors versus the thing on the phone, which can be a little truncated. So that would be.
Hey, apparently you can do it on your Apple TV now.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, I haven't tried that either.
But you can't do it on Fire TV, which is idiotic because we have to sit through all the AWS graphics and Amazon doesn't have it. And I don't understand. I'm like real worked up today. And this is we're going to keep going here in a minute. So
I have a feeling that we have a venting session coming soon. Yeah. I don't know what topic it's going to be on, but it's all going to come out.
Building.
She's been building. See, and you probably actually thought that Mexico was boring, but it's just.
We're going to find the trigger point.
Yeah.
And that's why you should stay tuned to the rest of this episode. What is the trigger point for all of us today? Just as a reminder, if you would love to join the Outlap F1 Nation, and we have had a multitude of people do that, we still want to have Fernando Alonso driving over your name in Zandvoort. Please feel free to find our link in the show notes. Whatever you'd like to give is awesome. We take it all. We use it to improve the show. You've heard the sound effects, all that good stuff like John was talking about. That's why we're doing it. We haven't taken any money out of this thing yet, so don't worry. It's not going to us. It's going into the show. So please do check out the link in the show notes for that. And finally, with the holidays coming, please do feel free to check out. We are still proud to bring the 20% off and free shipping from the good folks at Manscaped. Please use our code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP. It's great to get that deal. Get your orders in now. Again, James isn't here because he's trying to make sure everybody gets Christmas. So go ahead and get the orders in now. And let's, help yourselves out. Help us out too.
Go spend some money.
What was that?
I said he needs more work. Go spend some money.
Yeah, there you go.
Preferably from manscaped.com using code OUTLAP, OUTL.
Yep.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, of course. So we had not a huge news week, although there were a couple of interesting stories that brewed up, especially in the last couple of days. One that just actually came out, I think it was yesterday, In response to the Megan Thee Stallion, Martin Brundle social media blow up, and this is a story we haven't really talked about, but it just refuses to go away. F1 has now banned bodyguards on the grid after that incident. I didn't think the bodyguards were that rough. I do remember seeing the big dude from my seat, and I went, okay, I'm not a small person by any stretch, but that dude was huge. That was like the mountain showing up and going, I'm not ever messing with that dude. If I saw that guy coming at me, I'd be turning and running the other way. So kudos to Brundle for still sticking his nose in there even after that guy. Thoughts on, I guess, celebrities on the grid and the Brundle incident, because it just doesn't go away. So let's talk about it.
Okay, this is it. Why are we still talking about this? This was the most minor incident of all time. Like, it was just a funny comment by Brundle. It was just like a weird interaction. It was not a big deal at all. How on earth has it blown up to this? And like, not letting bodyguards on the grid. Like, it's just weird. It's stupid. It doesn't have to happen. It was like nothing. I mean, granted, like, everybody all got more publicity because nobody could shut up about it. So I guess good job, everybody. But like, why? Let it go. It's done. It's over. It was dumb. It was funny. Like, a funny little comment from it all. We can laugh about it and like move on with our lives. Anyway, don't really care about celebrities being on the grid. I don't care. It's fine. Bodyguards are on the grid. It's fine. I don't really care. Move on.
Thank you for paying. There you go. Yes, thank you for paying off.
Let's rank number one.
There we go. There's one. We've had it.
Bodyguards on the grid is what triggers. It's a trigger point.
It's just the like, not like how we have like, how is this still going? Like, I just don't.
Yeah, I mean,
that's where I'm like, I can't wrap my brain about it, and like people are getting so upset about it.
Well, right, and Sky did their comic bit and their build up, I think, to in the race coverage last weekend, and you would have thought that would have been kind of it. But yeah. This story just refuses for some reason to go away, and people are so triggered by it. Obviously, we just saw, but not just you, but I mean, just people on Twitter.
But I mean, like, I don't take any offense from anyone involved in it's just everybody's being super annoying. I'm like, just
To everybody on this, I think we all look at that grid as kind of hallowed ground, and the fact of the matter is, it's just not.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like Megan Thee Stallion, you know, tripped and fell and broke a tire or a front wing or the bodyguard, you know, clipped, you know, Valtteri Bottas's front suspension and they had to screw up, and then something got delayed because of it. If that would have happened, then I could understand this reaction. But this reaction, I mean, obviously it's a slow news cycle. And maybe it's just something that we just have waffled on to, but it's gotten so bad that they actually had to come out with a whole new protocol for it. And hopefully that this closes the loop on it, I guess.
I mean, my only other thing is like, celebrities get paid to go to all sorts of crap. Like, it's just good that like F1 is a place that they want publicity from. Well,
yeah, that works.
And so we'll get there eventually. So I think it's like mutually beneficial for both parties. Like, it's fine. It was an awkward interaction. Maybe like
he's had much worse. He's had like some of the times when people actually talk to him, like Google his Owen Wilson interview or Google the first time he tried to interview Venus Williams. And they were much more ruder to him than Megan Thee Stallion ever was, or even those bodyguards. Now, granted, he nails the one dude who does look like Malfoy, by the way. But fine.
Excellent comment. You laugh, you move on.
Exactly.
You don't change rules about a, like, I can't, anyway, whatever. It's all dumb. Everything's dumb.
I'm done. John, any thoughts on this?
I don't know. I'm kind of scared. I mean, I feel like if you have to have a body, like, you know, an F1 grid is probably the last place you really need a bodyguard. You would think, at least, right? You know, it's basically just celebrities and then people there doing their job. You know, it's not a, there's no fans there or anything like that. It's very businesslike. And then you have these celebrities walking around. But Yeah, I thought the whole thing was rather comical. I agree with you. I think I don't know why it's still a talking point. I totally agree. I thought it was hilarious when it happened. I thought Brundle's, you know, tagline was, you know, hilarious. It still makes me laugh when I hear it, and I'm sure it'll go down in infamy as, like, you know, a tagline for the history books. But yeah, I thought it would just die there and be done with it. So,
and he's
Brundlegate or whatever we're calling it now, I don't know. Did Brundle, like, say, hey, I'm not going to go do this anymore? Or
no, he's come out on Twitter and said, look, I don't care whether, you know, I get 10 minutes worth of TV and I walk up and down. And if somebody talks to me, great. If they don't talk to me, fine. And I move on.
It was good TV. Right.
Yeah. And I'm in, like, a different category because I don't even know. Like, I didn't even know who this woman was, honestly, beforehand. I'm old.
I just noticed because of, like, the outfit.
Three heavy metal bands, so I don't know who these people are.
Well, now a lot more people probably know what F1 is, and a lot more people probably know who Meg Thee Stallion is.
It's a win-win.
Yes, exactly.
We're done.
All right. So endeth the
next time we should get the bodyguard and Brundle and do a little, like, cage match or something. That would make for great pay-per-view. But no other real thoughts for me. Okay. I thought the whole thing was comical, and now it's turning into dumb.
Yeah, it does have a point at which I think we're there. So, all right, we're tabling that discussion. We're moving on. So I guess we're talking a little bit about a logo here. All right, moving on to the next one.
Time for Andy's rant.
Yeah. So this hybrid branding, I guess, will be prominent now during F1 events. Came out as this green F1 style logo. They're not changing the actual F1 logo. I remember when we had the F1 logo gate a few years ago and it looked like something from 3M.
Let's not open that door.
I don't want to go there.
That was a dark place.
Yes, exactly. I guess they're going to try to say how wonderful these engines are, even though I'm not a huge fan of the hybrid technology, but I guess you have the stat, you might as well promote it.
I mean, yeah, these are, you know, the most efficient internal combustion engines on Earth by a long stretch. So yes, congratulations. They have accomplished that. They're also cost multi-millions of dollars and they break really easily. So, you know, there's a reason why Porsche and Audi and a couple other rumored manufacturers have said, hey, we'd love to join F1 in a few years, but we will not do it if the MGUH is still on the car. And there's a reason that the teams are all saying, hey, it wouldn't be that bad to get rid of this thing. It's extremely problematic. It's the reason why Honda sucked for so many years because they couldn't get the damn thing figured out. It spins at a ridiculously high rate of velocity. And it would just break constantly. So it's not something you're ever going to see on a road car. And, you know, not the whole point, but one of the big premises of F1 is we develop things that eventually trigger down to road cars, why manufacturers are involved and interested in F1, because we develop things that eventually they can make money off of down the road, you know, ABSs and turbos and things like that. Like, this is just, you know, it's par for the course. And MGUH is never going to happen. And honestly, hybrids are kind of on their way out. Nobody's really thinking about hybrids anymore. I don't really get the branding necessarily, but whatever. I don't know. Deanna, thoughts?
It's just all goes with their sustainability stuff. So that all the branding looked like it matched to that video they put out a few weeks ago about them moving to sustainable fuels. So it's just an extension of that and them trying to be like, look, we're more sustainable, especially kind of looking at Formula E being the kind of gold standard on that front, but trying to kind of take that back. And that's kind of such a big thing in the global, things everybody talks about. I can never think of words.
Well, I think anyway. they want to eventually be net carbon neutral, and that's what they're going for.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all part of that. It's just part of that branding. It's not a big deal. It's on a couple banners somewhere, and is what it is.
Yeah, I think beyond that. But now you're probably going to see how many. What was that?
She's pulling a Toto Wolf over there.
And I'm just like,
all right, Toto Junior.
She's all right.
She's going to break that desk.
See.
Anyway,
all right.
Moving on.
This was actually a story that came out earlier today. Jenny Gao was breaking this from BBC. There apparently has been some logistics issues. James, we feel your pain on this one. With the freight getting from Mexico or to Brazil, apparently it went from Mexico via Miami and then through an airline down to Brazil. It's probably, hopefully, in the air now. But if they don't get it in by tomorrow, that presents a bit of a problem because, according to one of the sporting regs, you have to have your car together and presented to the FIA in that scrutineering process 18 hours before FP1. So it looks like they're probably going to make it. F1 came out with a response that said, we're aware of it, but we think the stuff is just going to arrive tomorrow, and that will give the teams extra. We may give the teams some extra time to do that. The stewards can, you know, through force majeure and everything else, give waivers to that rule and all that other stuff. So looks like we're still on for the event, but a little bit of drama kind of at the 11th hour.
It's almost like triple headers was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it's just one of those things. But, I mean, it happened at a doubleheader, too. It's just, it was unfortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I just feel for all of the people that are going to have to set that up. They're going to have a very, very late night on Thursday. So good luck to all of them.
And we also hope that everybody stays safe because there have been incidents at late at night, especially in that Brazil track. So if they are there past their normal curfew, I know that they will probably have that bodyguard will have a job if he wants one. Down in Brazil this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it just, it's a shame. But it was, I'm surprised it hasn't happened before now, just given the insanity of the last year and a half from a, well, everything standpoint, but definitely logistics as well. So yeah, it's, with more races coming and tighter schedules next year, you know, it could certainly happen again, but yeah, a lot of people were asking what would happen if they didn't make it.
You have to have a minimum of 12 cars show up to have an event. Now, generally, I know there've been some other talk that like they don't let anybody touch the freight until all the freight gets there. So that's also true. So if it happens to one, they're not gonna screw over a team for something that the team really can't control because it's, you know, I think they're all, like I said, the big plane is usually an F1 paid for plane. That does.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Australia 2020 when, you know, a couple of team members from McLaren unfortunately tested positive for COVID. You know, it shut the whole show down.
Right.
So it was like,
well, they were going to go ahead and not just McLaren wasn't going to participate. And then they decided because we didn't know what COVID was. Nobody knew how really out would transmit or anything. And that was just the.
Yeah, I don't think they want to. Ideally, you don't want to have the show unless everybody's there.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to. A team losing out on millions and millions of dollars or pounds in the constructor payout simply because they couldn't make the show through no fault of their own. You know, it's one thing if you're a Williams and just don't have enough parts or something stupid like that, then, you know, that's on you. But to just have something caught up in logistics and when we know there's, you know, 300 ships sitting out in the Pacific right now trying to get into ports and on the West Coast in the United States, you know, it's bad timing for everything to happen. So hopefully it all works out and everybody gets there fine. But yeah, surprised it hasn't happened before.
Yeah, but I mean, keep on our Twitter. I'll keep looking for updates. And if I see anything, I will definitely tweet that out. All right. So one last story. Apparently Michael Massey thinks we're still racing in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if we really still are. Those buildings don't look anywhere close to done. Looks like they have some superstructure up, but not a whole lot on the innards yet. We have FP1 in what, less than 30 days?
A whole lot less than 30 days at this point, yeah. Yeah, I kind of wonder, like, maybe we're going to have a track that's going to be dusty as shit. You know, we thought Mexico was bad. Yeah, I don't think we've seen anything yet. It's going to be a hot mess getting those cars out there as dusty as it is and as fresh as that.
And it's going to be fresh oil, which means the dust is going to stick to it like glue.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. And so my guess is we have a race, but potentially we have a significant reduction in fans, maybe just like some VIP celebrity type, because I don't think they're getting those buildings done.
Well, they can't bodyguard, so.
Maybe
not.
I mean, it's never a good sign when you're only a couple weeks out and there's still rebar sticking out of buildings.
Yeah.
That's generally not a good level of progress, typically speaking, from my little knowledge of construction. But I think that's a bad sign. So, yeah, I think we will race there. But I don't know if it's going to be, it might be a lot like the Korean GP from a few years ago, you know, that was supposed to have a giant city built around it. And
then they never built it.
a wasteland, essentially. Yeah,
they literally built the thing 60 miles outside of town because they thought the town was going to come to it, and then the town
didn't. Yeah, and yeah, nothing happened. Just a few empty buildings, and yeah, nothing. So hopefully it's not something like that. Be a shame, but yeah, I think we will race, but I think the track is going to be in horrific condition. Hopefully it's safe. Hopefully they get it done in time just to pass like scrutineering standards and stuff, because that's coming up very, very soon. But yeah, that's going to be that race could really alter the championship in a dramatic fashion.
And I wonder if they're going to have to do the same thing like Turkey did, which is take like cars from civilians and whatnot and have them running around trying to move
like the 24 hours a day for like a week straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to try to get something right. Rubber-ish down. Yeah.
I just find it comical that F1 literally posted a video of them walking around and like pretended like absolutely nothing was wrong. Blind? What is this? Like, you're not, like, nobody has any confidence in what you're saying. Because we can literally see this track is in shambles. Like, just stop trying to pretend. It would have been better off, I think, just not posting anything.
You'd have been better off just having a drone go over it.
Nothing's wrong. Yeah, watching them pretend like absolutely nothing is wrong is comical. But yeah, it is also just worrisome about if we show up and that track is done, what had to happen for that to get to that point. So it's gonna be, I don't know. Well, actually, my hope is that it actually doesn't happen and then we get Bahrain Outer again. That would be my
dream. That would be lovely.
Yes. Scenario.
That would gladly,
I'm sure that circuit would love this stuff.
But that was my dream.
And you wouldn't have to transport things very far. It's literally down the road.
That's true. That is
true. Hop them on a flatbed and take them to something that's already built.
Yeah.
That's too simple, though. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. No, simplest explanation tends to be the right one, too. That track don't look done.
I don't know why you would agree to hold a raise. It was like under a year ago. They signed this contract. They signed a 10-year contract. I'm wondering if it'll like break any clause in that contract if they don't have a track done, and then maybe we can get out.
Well, and then this is don't forget they're building.
That's my dream as well.
Don't forget they're. This is only supposed to be temporary. The street circuit is only going to be for the first couple of years, and then they're supposed to be building another permanent circuit. So Lord only knows if they're doing this with the street circuit. Lord only knows when do they finally turn their attention to that.
I also just think it's funny that they want to use it as public curves after, and they're going to be going through all those turns, just like this number.
Just going to the grocery store.
Going down that little
thing. Hey, look, it's a figure eight chicane.
I mean, as a civilian, it might be great, you know, especially if you had a street bike or something.
I mean, I'd take my car on it and see what it can do.
Yeah.
Why not?
And he gets out the charger, the V8, baby.
Yep. Oh, that sport mode on. All right. So before we actually get into our preview proper, we do have a number of listener questions, and this is nice to have this actually on a preview. So we will just dig into these really quick before we break and then get into our Brazilian weekend proper. So Dave Doherty asks, and this is actually very prevalent, are you ready for another sprint, and do we think it could be a little bit better?
I have gone downhill on my liking of sprint race. Where? I'm in a mood today.
This is great TV. I can't wait to get this on YouTube. This is gold standard television.
Like, it's fine. It just needs something else, or it needs to change. It's just like, it'll be exciting the first lap, and then we'll just drive around for
23 more.
Nobody's really going to push. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's...
Is it like, really 23?
Like, something like Mexico. Geez. That race, not that exciting. But you can make it exciting because you're looking at strategy and people are actually pushing and there's like pit stops and all that stuff. And you can, I think, make something exciting out of something that is relatively maybe dull to a lot of people. But I think when you get to a sprint race, it's like you get through that first lap and after that, like maybe the gaps are coming in. But it's just like I don't have any confidence that anybody's going to go for anything. So it's like after those first couple laps, it's just like, okay, like that's it. Like, just make it a 5-lap sprint race, and, like, that's all you need.
They need to put points on it. It needs points. Top three positions is not enough. If you want people to actually push and try for something, you got to get more points.
Or
our best hope is that someone puts on a pair of softs, and, you know, Mercedes Lewis puts on a pair of softs and tries to do something and make it last. It's, like, our only hope here to I think, to have a pretty interesting race and to maybe see some kind of battle or something like that. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's going to see like five laps of excitement. And then wherever you're at then, it's going to be like, all right, well, I'm not taking any more risks, you know, as of now. So
I don't know if it'll happen here, but like, I feel like the one at Silverstone and then the one at Monza, like, there were people that did softs versus medium. So there wasn't a whole lot of tire deg. I don't think by the end.
Well, and Monza got screwed up because of the safety car too. That kind of killed that. Any shot of there being any kind of tire deg was killed.
And I think there was one in, no, I don't even remember the one in Silverstone. Like, that is just like completely gone from my brain. Like, I forget that even happened. So I'm just like, it's fun because like the whole weekend is a lot more fun and like practice sessions are a lot more engaging. And having qualifying on Friday, even though it's in the middle of my work day, is fun. And like all that stuff, I think it makes the whole weekend a lot more exciting. But the sprint race itself, I don't love. And I hope when they bring these back, because they are going to bring them back, that they figure out some kind of format change, because what they have right now is not
my favorite thing. Yeah. I mean, one obvious one to me would be, you know, if you're taking engine penalties, and we know we've had this slew of penalties these last two races, let the sprint race be some way to get yourself out of that hole.
Yeah.
Where, you know, congratulations. If you take it and start at the back of that, and then, you know, if you got five places in, then guess what? That's where you would line up. That would be much more motivation for everybody other than the top three to still be fighting each other, because it has much more consequence to it. If you're going to keep the engine penalties as they are, that seems at least a natural way to get out of it. But they're not probably going to do it because they don't listen to us.
Yeah.
John, any other?
And then they say it's what all the young fans want.
Yeah.
Which it's just because they make a lot more money through sponsorship dollars and all that stuff, which again is fine. But
yeah, if you go watch our, you know, fan survey episode, will clearly see that that's not the case at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fans do not want that. And it was primarily much younger people than me taking that survey. And it was very clear that no.
Again, they wanted, what was it? Refueling was more popular. Teams having a third driver was more popular. And some other stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is also kind of extension of sprint qualifying. Bryson Sullivan asks, with the two race ending crashing in two sprint qualifying weekends is a coincidence, but possibly three would then be a trend. Do we think we are going to break the streak and not have another crash in the sprint? I think it's natural that first lap is going to be pretty chaotic and somebody's going to go off somewhere. It tends to always happen.
I mean,
especially
that is literally your only opportunity, I feel like, for the sprint race for the most part. I mean, it might be a little bit better here in Brazil versus what Monza was, but like, that is your big chance. So I think and it's just kind of emblematic of first laps in a normal race anyway. So it does kind of suck for those people that get taken out or take themselves out, as we've seen. But I guess, again, it's just the race. It's just an extension to the race. It's a slightly less exciting additional third bit of the race. And I think it's just like a normal first lap. It's likely to happen.
Yeah, I would agree. the turn 1-2 section of Brazil, it's kind of clunky. You know, it almost invites you to try to attempt something in the inside lane, and that's a bad decision, but it never fails. You know, someone sees an open lane and their eyes wide up and they go for it. So it visually draws you in and says, oh, there's a great place to overtake. But then the way the corners flow, you know, the left and then the right back out, I would say it's a high probability that you're going to get some contact there, unfortunately.
Danny Rick, I'm looking in your direction. Don't do that this weekend, please. We need you to get in the points this time. But anyway, I digress. So next question. Marissa, who is a fairly new fan to us, and we thank her for coming on board, asks the following question. The scrutiny that Lewis constantly faces more than any other F1 personality, and to her, she seems that it looks like a lot. His words are picked apart, dissected, and put under a microscope until he offers clarification. Others say more inflammatory or wild shit, and none of them climb out of their holes for clarification. Her example being Christian Horner with his synoded comment, Toto with his pantomime shade, anything Fernando says basically ever, Max calling whoever stupid idiots. What do we think about this? Do we think number one, Lewis faces more scrutiny, and number two, does the picking apart of things, is it doled out equally or is it slanted somewhat?
Well, the one thing I will say is yes, it does definitely seem like Lewis gets the brunt of it, but I feel like at least a part of that is because he's A, the biggest figure in F1 and has been so dominant for so long. So that just naturally builds up a quite a large, not fan base, the anti-fan base, I guess, against him that will come out and just anything he says. And I think those types of fans still exist for all the other drivers, I think, that criticize them. But it's just such a smaller subset and not quite as loud subset. And it's not great. It's not ideal. But I think it just comes with being such a large figure and being so successful as he has been, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the positive takeaways, and it's just because he's so amazing at what he does. So.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, his stuff is definitely picked apart more, but like you said, I mean, and it doesn't matter the sport. We see it across all forms of sports, really. Whomever is the face of that sport, anything they say that's slightly off kilter or has any realm of possibility of being twisted, it happens every single time. And like you said, I know Max Verstappen was voted, you know, most popular driver, but in the world, people know there are many more people that know Lewis Hamilton that don't know Max Verstappen still to this day. So yes, he might be popular amongst the new fans and in the world of F1, but in the world, outside of F1, Lewis Hamilton, that name is a massive figure in the world of fashion, music, you know, culture, you name it. People know Lewis Hamilton. There's a reason that celebrities flock to him to see every race. You know, there's always massive celebrities in his pit box because people know him. And so, yes, when you are the best and when you are the face of a sport, you're going to get picked apart. Is it fair? Absolutely not. Should he have had to like come out this week and clarify his statement with Perez? No,
or his teammates.
Yeah. If Max says something, it's like, oh, it's in the heat of the moment, you know, and we can't judge drivers on that. If Lewis says something, it gets torn apart and there's 50 articles written about it and everything else. So like I said, is it fair? No. Is it going to happen? Absolutely. And, you know, and when, you know, the day comes that Lewis, you know, decides that, hey, I want to go do something else, and whomever that next person is, whether that's Max Verstappen, whether that's George Russell, whomever the case, maybe it's moving into that figure, it's going to happen to them too, probably. So I'd be shocked if it didn't, honestly. And like I said, I mean, Hamilton's been from his very first race in 2007, he was a massive deal. I mean, so like you just don't see that level of popularity worldwide that Lewis has been able to capture. So, I mean, yeah, like you said, Deanna, it's a positive thing. It just shows the impact and the influence that he has around the world. So,
yeah, I mean,
not all positive, but this is part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Lewis has been the lightning rod, and he's the lightning rod because he is one of the few cross-cultural drivers in Formula One. And to your point, John, everybody knows who Lewis is. He's in, you know, he does voiceovers in the Cars movies, for crying out loud. I mean, he's basically done everything everywhere. He's got an album out, I think, at some point too. He's, you know, he's done music recordings and whatever else he wants to do. He certainly has the resources to do it. Therefore, what comes with that is that additional spotlight, is some additional scrutiny. I have not heard him put a foot wrong or put his foot in his mouth in a very, very long time. The last thing connected to racing was when he tweeted out the telemetry at McLaren when it was like, I think his first or second year when he was in the fight with Alonso. And then after that, they locked him down and he went to social media school. He figured it out. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that it comes with being who he is. But he's managed to be in that space and thrive in that space. And the question is anybody else going to be able to do that once that spotlight shifts? We don't know. That's the interesting part when Lewis moves aside, at least from racing.
Like I said last week, you could have a whole lot worse people as the face of your sport than Lewis Hamilton. You know, you think like how the sport of NASCAR changed when we lost Dale Earnhardt. I think we're going to see a similar style shift. I don't know which way, maybe good, maybe bad. I don't know. But I think we're going to see some kind of shift in the sport once Hamilton leaves. And I think a lot of it too, a lot of the scrutiny that people try to put on him, I think a lot of people are trying to just bait him into saying something. And to your point, Andy, I mean, the guy is a masterclass at social media. Like he's very precise in what he says. Now what he says behind closed doors, I don't know. Right. Someone might get ripped a new one, but in front of a camera and on social media, he's very strategic in exactly the words he uses.
Well, I mean, look at a perfect example is if anybody watched The Last Dance and Michael Jordan, you know, that was a guy who had the image and in front of the camera was always great and knew what to say and knew how to say it. But he wasn't letting people really behind the scenes. And then, you know, that documentary comes out and you get to see him kind of not on all the time. And yeah, he's just like everybody else. He has his own foibles and, you know, he had the gambling thing and we all knew that, you know, eventually. But yeah, it's the same concept. Like at least Lewis knows when he goes out, he's representing not only his brand, Formula One, he's representing his team. He gets it. Some other people might not necessarily get it at this point. All right. So last listener question before we take a break. Jennifer, another new fan to our podcast, and welcome aboard. Jennifer says, as a newbie, I learn so much each week, but I'm also left with thousands of new questions as well. This weekend left me with questions about towing and clean air. Are these topics we can cover? And I would say, of course, we can cover them. Jen, do you want to talk just a little bit about it? And then I think you wanted me to handle the brunt of this.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing that we, you know, when it comes to towing, obviously, you know, if you've heard the terminology drafting before, if you ever, you know, especially for the Americans who have ever done, you know, anything in you know, a lot of racing, you hear that terminology, especially in NASCAR, you hear it. But, you know, the whole premise, especially at the start of Mexico, was that Bottas ideally was supposed to get a great start. Lewis was supposed to slip in behind him and basically Bottas was going to punch a giant hole in the you know, the sphere that is air and allow for, you know, less resistance on Lewis's car, who would be immediately behind him. Therefore, Bottas's car would be working a lot faster. Hamilton would then get a maximum benefit of that and then swoop in one way or the other and would take the lead going to turn one. That was the plan for Mercedes all along, and they've been very, you know, public about that. Unfortunately, none of that happened. But, you know, when you think about towing, it basically is just that the car in front is punching a giant hole in the air and you are benefiting. Unfortunately for F1 cars, the tow is phenomenal on the straights, but you hear the term, you know, I know you asked about, Jennifer, you asked about clean air.
It's really more about dirty air.
Yeah. And so towing is phenomenal on the straights, but as soon as you get in the corners, that air, you know, that same impact has basically the opposite in, you know, effect when you get into the corners. You don't want to be anywhere remotely close to a car in front of you when you get to the corners. And so that's why you would see in qualifying and things like that, the teammates would practice and they would, you know, they would pull a tow. They, you know, one driver would take the lead and then they'd flip flop the next run. But as soon as they got to the end of the straight, that driver would slow down and let the trailing driver pass him. Because again, going into the corners, you don't want to be around anybody. I've heard things that have said that, you know, ideally you don't want to be within 7 seconds of a car in front of you at a lot of tracks, because you can still, there's still impact to the air, even 7 seconds down the road, there's still impact to that air that's negatively impacting your car. So that's kind of a tow. When it comes to clean air and dirty air, I mean, I guess it's easier to explain dirty air. I always use the analogy of, you know, you're going down the highway and you've got an 18 wheeler or a lorry, if you know, for our UK listeners. And, you know, either they're coming by beside you or you're following behind one and your car is kind of buffeting back and forth. It's dirty air is all that turbulence that's coming off the car in front of you or the vehicle in front of you. You know, F1 cars, at least in the current form, this is hopefully going to be fixed next year, but they have all kinds of charades and spikes and fins on the side. And all of that just creates vortices and creates and causes the air to spin and twist and everything else. And unfortunately for the car behind them, they're running into all this air that's going crazy and spiraling, and their car has to deal with that. So it has a huge negative impact to the car behind them, which is hopefully why we're going to the new cars next year, which are much more simplistic from an aero standpoint, which should hopefully solve that. Well, that's always the best example is when you get that, you know, feeling like the, like you're just getting beat up from a truck that's in front of you or a truck going beside you and you feel that giant gust of wind. That's basically dirty air. Yeah, so and, I don't know, Andy, you probably got other ways.
Yeah, I mean, it, what all those wings and fancy bits are all trying to do is keep the car pushing down amongst the surface, help the tires dig into the surface of the track. And therefore, when you go to turn it, you can maximize your speed. When you don't have that, literally, that's what it's called, downforce. When you don't have the downforce, the front wing washes off, the tires rip and slide across the track and they don't grip like they're supposed to, and you lose lap time because of it. So when you're looking for clean air, yeah, it's that nice, pristine, nothing, no car around you within 7 second air. That's what you're trying to get. Now, when we go to next year, where the fundamental shift is where the down, how the downforce is generated. Instead of the wings, which are pushing down, it's going to be the bottom of the car that is literally then gripping the bottom of the track and creating almost a vacuum there to help, again, drive those tires down. And then this way, the hope is that whatever the wash from the car in front won't affect it as much because you're still able to keep the downforce level up. So that's,
yeah,
that's clean and dirty air, I think, in a nutshell.
You could also, yeah, you could also use the analogy of like on a lake, you know, you have a boat go through and you get the waves that, you know, go out and out and out and out and out. Obviously, any other boat coming through there is going to be negatively impacted that by that. You take the opposite of that. Clean air would be, you know, you're the first one on the lake. There's no wind. It's just like a crystal clear, glistening water, and you're just able to full speed ahead and just, you know, glaze, just kind of glide on top of the water. That's clean air, you know, for another analogy there. So, hopefully that helps, Jennifer. Again, we love these questions. They're, you know, it gives us wonderful things to talk about. And Jennifer, I know you're from the Drive to Survive, you know, wave that's coming in. And so, you know, if you're out there, Jennifer, and to whomever, if you're thinking it, if you're wondering about it, chances are there's probably another million or two other people that are thinking the same thing and wondering the same thing. And, you know, Andy and Deanna and James and I have all, we all learned these same things at some point. So if you're thinking about it, ask it. We would be absolutely thrilled to try to help explain it in the best way we can. So keep them coming.
Yep. Absolutely. Deanna, any thoughts on clean air, dirty air, or did we get it sufficiently?
You got it.
All right. All right. So we are going to go ahead. We're going to take our official break. We will come back and we will dig into the track facts, the Brazilian Grand Prix, and of course, our predictions, which Deanna has made this a whole lot tighter for all of us with her performance last week. So come on back and we'll get into that. So come on back.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to season 3 episode. It's the Big 5-0. It's our Brazilian Grand Prix race preview episode. You've got Andy along with John and Deanna. And we are now going to hop into our track facts specifically about the Interlagos circuit in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Deanna, tell us about it.
Yes, so we are doing 71 laps around Interlagos and with a track length of 2.67 miles or 4.309 kilometers. The tire selection is the middle range of the C2, C3, and C4. For track characteristics, you have traction out of 4 out of 5, braking, tire stress, lateral load, I cannot talk to it today. Oh my God. Asphalt grip and asphalt abrasion are all at 3 out of 5. Downforce is at a 4 out of 5. For the qualifying lap record, it was set by Bottas in 2018 and it was a 107.281. And the race lap record was also set by Bottas in 2018 and it was a 110.54. So for the most wins at this track at its current configuration, in fourth is Hamilton and a bunch of other retired drivers tied on 2 wins. Then Vettel has 3 wins. Reutemann and Schumacher are next, tied on 4. And then most wins at this track is Prost with 6. And on the constructor size, we have in third is Williams with 6, Ferrari in second with 11, and McLaren in first with 12.
Woohoo! So what is the Interlagos circuit like? Like many pre-World War II tracks, Interlagos features banked corners with the drivers beginning their lap on sort of a half oval. In fact, between 1957 and the track's return to the F1 calendar in 1990, Interlagos could be run as a giant oval. After wiggling through the Senna S and down to turn 4, the drivers then have to go through a snaking infield section with some challenging camber changes before slinging back up the hill and through the banked final turn 5. Weather forecast, and sometimes Brazil can throw some weather at you, but it doesn't look like it's going to be the case this weekend. Qualifying, which again will happen on Friday, we're expecting a high of 74 degrees, intervals of cloud and sun, winds out of the east southeast at 9 miles per hour, with a chance of rain only at 5%. For the sprint on Saturday, we're expecting a high of around 79 degrees, supposed to be sunny, winds east northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour, with a chance of rain down to 4%. And for the race, a high of 83 degrees, intervals of clouds and sunshine, winds out of the north at 5 to 10. So that may be actually something to watch when the wind shifts and in what direction it's shifting. But the chance of rain up to 8%, but probably not. So my guess is we're probably going to have a nice dry weekend. All right. So it is now time for... our qualifying predictions game. It is now super tight. The race for P2. I am now feeling the heat from both James and Deanna. John is still a little bit clear of me.
I'm feeling the heat. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm only like 8 points ahead, and we got a sprint weekend. So more
that's
points
true.
On
we're all feeling it at this point.
A little nervous.
So we start out with the ones who aren't here, and that would be James. So he has thrown in our first category, which is our qualifying fastest driver. This is the traditional qualifying fastest driver and time. The record last year was Max Verstappen on a 107.508. James is saying Max Verstappen will take the traditional qualifying top position with a lap time of 108.326. John, we'll go over to you. What's your next thought on that?
Of course, you have to go to the next. I'm seeing Deanna changing her times as we speak. Yeah, I'm watching you.
You want me to copy paste exactly?
No. I'm just waiting for a sound effect, Devin. I'm going to go with a Verstappen.
There. That's what I calculated earlier.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what that. Oh, okay. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
I'm like 68 seconds. What are you talking about? Okay, I'm with you. Deanna did something on wicked math over there. Math, yeah. You know I don't know what math is. I don't do math. We've established this. All right, so we might be... No, I'm not... Oh, you're actually going to be really close to James. He's going to love that.
And I did that before I saw his time.
So I'm actually going with... I'm also going to go with a Verstappen, and I'm going to go with a 108.499.
All right. Deanna has elected, and I will do the translating of the math here. So she has a 68-second lap, which translates to a 1 minute, 8-second lap, 0.3338. So we'll give her the extra decimal.
7.08.
There we go. Yes, exactly. So it wasn't coming over the top of James intentionally.
Like the trillionth. Yes.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
now who's your driver
between the two of you guys?
It's going to be Max.
And she's got Max. All right.
Yeah.
Here, this is Deanna right now. Oh, damn it. It didn't work.
You trying to do the Brundle one?
I was trying to do the Brundle and it didn't work. Oh, damn it. So it
oh, my God.
Damn you, technology.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
John broke my toys here. Dang it. So I will go with Max Verstappen, and I have a 108.759. So I have a little bit of space between everybody there. So as this is a sprint podium or sprint race weekend, our next prediction is the sprint race podium. Deanna, I will start with you. I'll give you the, well, I'll have James first. James is going Max Verstappen P1, Lewis Hamilton in P2, Sergio Checo Perez in P3 for the sprint race podium. Deanna, what you got for that?
I'm doing the same thing as James for sprint and race. It hasn't failed me the past couple races, so Max Lewis Checo.
Max Lewis. Hey, we got it working again. All right. I have Max Bottas Hamilton. Because I think Bottas will stick his nose in where it doesn't belong in this championship battle. So that leaves you, John. You get the advantage of seeing what everybody's done.
You are muted.
Ah, well, see, technology. Oh. All right. We'll ignore what I just said.
I should have just pretended to like read his lips and like typed in like Latifah.
I'm just playing my games with you guys. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Andy. I'm going to go with a Max. I think Bottas Hamilton. Bottas is quick at this track. He doesn't seem to give two hoots about not helping his boy out, apparently. So there was a picture of him on a beach this week, and I wondered if Verstappen took the picture, if they're just hanging out together. The double agent that is Valtteri Bottas.
So, I guess just because we need to. Because we're all copying each other in the sprint here. All right. So, race predictions. Race podium. James is going with Max Verstappen taking the win. Sergio Perez making it the second 1-2 this season. And then followed by Lewis Hamilton in third place. So, Max, Checo, Lewis. John, it's your turn to go first on this one. What you got?
I'm going to go with a Max Lewis Checo.
Max Lewis Checo.
In Mexico 2.0.
Okay. Deanna, what's your thoughts on the actual race podium?
Same exact thing. Max Lewis Checo.
Great line. Great minds, right? You know, that's what we're going with.
Well, if I...
All right, so change it around.
Ouch. So I actually have something.
I get so much crap on this show.
I have something different, but it was actually originally different. I have Max, Lewis, and because he did it last time we were here, Pierre Gasly, back-to-back Brazil podiums. Guys, I'm great for him.
I like that.
So let's hope that that is my wild card pick that gets me some gain on you, John. Because I got to get back in this fight somehow. All right. So for the fastest race lap and the driver, James has gone with Valtteri Bottas with a 111.111. So a lot of ones for the number two driver at Mercedes. Deanna, what you got for race fast lap and the driver?
What is this? Math.
71.707867.
So that would be a 111.707867. See, I can do math. I'm the accountant here. There we go. That's my job. All right. So, John, what's your thoughts on race lap at fastest lap and the driver?
I'm going to go with a 111.708.
And who's your driver?
Oh
no!
I can't help it. You're right in my bucket there. I did my math too. I tried to use CODA as like a basing point for this.
You did not have a 7.708.
I mean, I had a 0.7. I just added a couple other digits.
All right, all right.
I will go with a Bottas. I think he's going to be another sacrificial lamb, whether he wants to be or not. So, right, so who knows? He might get his ninth engine this
week.
That's
true. Too. Just to clarify, Deanna has Max setting that lap, just so we get that out there. I will go with Valtteri Bottas again setting that lap. I think he could be coming in for multiple sets of soft tires at the end of the race again. I do have a little bit different lap time. At least there's a couple tenths difference. I have a 111.587. That. All right. So for the bonus picks, James had the honor of doing the bonus picks as he had the least amount of points last time out. He picked P5, P11, and P17. His choices for P5 is Carlos Sainz, P11, Sebastian Vettel, and in P17, he has Nicholas Latifi. I will go next. I will throw this out there. We need to get some McLaren bounce back, so I have P5 being my boy, Lando Norris. P11, that sounds like Lance Stroll territory. And P17, I think, will be Mick Schumacher, because I think we will have some retirements. John, what's your thought?
I'm going to go with a Sainz P5, a Kimi Räikkönen P11, and a Spins-A-Lot Mazepin, who got kicked out of a bar this week, apparently.
It was a Red Bull party. That was amazing.
We didn't talk about that on the news, but I thought I'd at least throw it in there, because it's funny. In P17.
I didn't actually see the video where he got kicked out. I've got people looking at him like he didn't belong there, but I didn't see the video of him actually leaving.
Yeah, he was escorted
out. Ah, another reason for bodyguards.
He was hanging out with Albon, I think, right?
I guess.
I think it was Albon that was with him. I don't know.
That's a Red Bull party. Albon go to those, so, you know, he's not off his contract yet.
Whoever he was with, I think it was maybe Albon, looked very uncomfortable. Like, please get this guy away from me.
I don't know if that's Red Bull party, okay. Man.
Well, the better question is, why was Mazepin there?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, maybe his daddy was paying the bill or something. I don't know.
All right. Okay. So, anyway. Deanna, I bought you some time with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all strategic.
And I still haven't decided.
Is there math involved in this?
No. We'll go Leclerc P5. And then, for P11, let's go Gio. They actually did. I think they finished 4th and 5th in the race in Brazil. So that might even be a little low for him. And they looked pretty good in Mexico. So these high altitude stuff, Alpha, not so horrible. Anyway, I'm still talking to buy myself time about P17. I'm deciding if there's going to be a lot of retirements or not. And if I want to throw a random one down there, let's just say Alpha.
All right. Ocon.
I feel like every time that you pick a driver that shouldn't be down there, it's always Ocon.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of secret tape there?
I think I've kept it consistent. That's the goal here. At some point, he's going to have some kind of issue. I guess he did in COTA. They had a terrible retirement. But, like, maybe he'll have another one. It'll kind of, like, come mid-race. Like, I feel like if I got to pick a driver, if I switch it up, it's less likely.
Hopefully
at one point it will. Anyway.
I'm just happy you didn't go Ocon for P5, P11, and P17. Because we've been down that path before.
I should have done that. That's such a missed opportunity. Because I've never gotten more than one of these bonus points right. So that's such a good idea.
Alright. So our prop bet this week. Last time we bet who was going to come out with the P3 battle. This time we're going with the P1 battle because it is as tight as any of them at this point. So who leaves Brazil with the lead in the Constructors' Championship? James has selected Red Bull. I will go next.
Can I make a proposal change in this prop bet?
You can try.
I think just to like spice it up a little bit. Maybe do picking between 1st and 2nd, 3rd and 4th, and 5th and 6th. Because those are all tight.
I love it. I don't know. We can guess what we think James is going to do. Probably guess.
Yeah.
We can guess this one.
We can just fill it in for him.
And he'll
he will go Red Bull with P1. I'm assuming that means Mercedes is P2. And then P3, we know he's got Ferrari.
Yes, of course.
So P4 would be McLaren. Now P5, he doesn't like French teams, so we'll give AlphaTauri and then Alpine.
We know him so well. He'll be so proud of us of how well we picked
for him. So I tried for him there. I'll go Red Bull P1 because I do think they will win this track.
Wait. Is this just Deanna's way of trying to get more points?
No, it's still just 1 point.
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to try to get 3 points out of this deal.
Well, if I do well, then we can.
I mean, if I do well, I'm all for 3 points.
This is why you turn into the review, because we'll actually figure this out by then. So I will go Red Bull P1, which will leave Mercedes in P2. I will go McLaren somehow, some way to come back and get those 13 points, because I have to. So that would be Ferrari. All right. There we go. If I can type. And I actually do like AlphaTauri to beat Alpine this weekend. All right. Deanna, this is your creation. What you got?
I have Red Bull and the Mercedes, and then Ferrari and the McLaren, and then AlphaTauri, and then Alpine.
Okay. John, what's your thought?
So I guess I'm copying James, I believe, right? So it'd be, yeah, Red Bull P1, Mercedes P2, I think Ferrari.
Oh, all three of us have the same thing.
P3.
All right, failed.
Hang on.
I'm the only one that mixed it up at all.
Yeah, Andy mixed it up.
But
Andy went McLaren.
But still.
Ahead of Ferrari.
Happened either way. Now they're just more elements. I think everybody would have said Red Bull until I've made it more exciting. Then now Andy has said something. So
and if she somehow gets 3 points out of this, she won't hate it.
I was going to say, the worst.
Then I make it 2 points for Andy.
For Andy.
It's just all of us against Andy.
So, all right, look, can we make a pact? If Andy gets it, it's 1 point. If the rest of us get it, can we all agree with that?
Okay, I'm good with that.
It only makes sense.
See, this is we all turn on each other. This is what happens. Damn.
Entertainment, that's all.
Well, tune in to the review where we will try to recap and tally all of this and then debate about how much we're tallying it.
Yeah.
So, session times to actually get some real useful information out there. Practice one, everything is actually kind of late in the afternoon or early afternoon ish in the U.S. except for the practices. So, practice one kicks off 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Qualifying kicks off 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Practice two, which is kind of the meaningless practice, kicks off 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. The sprint race. Oh, I called it a race. Oh, God. They're going to kill me. The sprint session.
Don't get Deanna started.
We'll kick off at 2.
I think she's got a whole video 2:30. Series just on that topic alone.
Whatever it is, it's happening at 2:30 p.m. Eastern.
It is a race.
I agree with you. I just don't want the F1 people to come and ban me. The actual race itself will kick off at noon Eastern.
Listen, Annie, I'm going to try it one more time just for you, okay?
Ah,
it still didn't work. Damn it.
The race itself kicks off at high noon Eastern, 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone if you're in Chicago like James and I. So please enjoy all the sessions.
Brundle has failed me. I'm so mad and sad at the same time. Danny Brundle, your perfect line.
We're going to fix that. I think we've got Deanna. Her hand is over her face.
I think we're going to have to give a refund to our Outlab F1 supporters for tonight.
This
episode has gone off the rail in a few different ways.
No,
it's time to end.
Yeah, it's time for it to end. We have no more final thoughts. I'm just going to take us out. May all your laps be fast. And please, for the love of God, please still tune in on Sunday.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.